Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,800 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special guest is Dr. Dale Atkins, author of the children's books The Turquoise Butterfly and Dear Deer. Dr. Dale Atkins, author, former Today Show expert, and psychologist, is best known for sharing guidance on how to navigate life's complicated questions and uncomfortable feelings. Now, she has a new mission to help generations connect and experience the joy of being present. Her new book, The Turquoise Butterfly, inspired by her mother, is a tender and uplifting children's story that captures the beauty of love, nature, courage, grief, and transformation. Her book acts as a resource for parents, grandparents, and any other champion of the younger generation to teach research-backed anxiety coping skills that resonate with children, including time in nature, nurtures intergenerational relationships, and builds a loving legacy for the well-being of both the grandchild and the grandparent. For more information, you can visit Dr. Atkins' website, which is drdaleatkins.com, and that's drdaleatkins.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Dale to the show. Good day, Dale.
Good day, Robert. Thank you so much for having this conversation.
It is my pleasure. Anytime that I can, you know, have children's authors on, I love to do it. I have a special section on Facebook called the Children's Corner, so that because I, you know, that is such an important part of a child's life is the books they read.
It's so true, and another part of the child's life is sometimes with whom they read those books, and the cuddling, and the comfort, and the sharing of the way a child looks at an illustration that a parent or an adult may not look at it. It's an experience that so many of us benefit from when we engage in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the book has the characters of a grandmother and a granddaughter. So can you tell us, why did you highlight that particular relationship?
I highlighted the relationship because I was inspired by and impressed by, and actually wanted to pay homage to my late mother. And she was a wonderful mother and grandmother and great-grandmother. Her name was Sylvia, as is the name of the main character. And I wanted to share what we can learn from a patient and adventurous and inquisitive and gentle grandmother, grandfather, elder, in the life of a younger child. In this case, it's a little girl whose name is Victoria, who might be a little anxious, a little hesitant, still curious and wants to experience the world, but isn't really a risk taker. And so I wanted to pair these different personalities as I emphasized the love and the joy and the connection that's possible. And I thought that the best way to do it would be to kind of bring to life again my mother. And the little girl is a combination of lots and lots of children that I've worked with over the years in my therapy practice, with a little dose of one of my own granddaughters thrown in. And I also wanted to use the metaphor of the butterfly because it's all about change and it's all about going into growth and struggling and emerging. And so we have the turquoise butterfly because my mother loved turquoise and she loved butterflies. And that's how the characters came to be.
Wow. That's wonderful to be able to have such a tribute to your mother. So now, can you give us just a little bit of what the plot line of the book is?
Absolutely. These wonderful two have 1 week a year together where the little girl spends a week with her grandmother out at her grandmother's house and they have an adventure. And it takes place over 3 years. And so first we meet a grandmother who's running around her garden and being so excited, picking her flowers and just looking very at ease with all this beautiful nature. And then we see a little girl putting her things together, but she's a little bit anxious because, of course, she wants to go to her grandmother's, but she's a little bit concerned because she likes to know what to expect rather than have a lot of unknowns. And I think each of us knows children like this, and we may know adults like this. So she's a little bit hesitant, but she's still packing and getting herself together. And then she gets on the train, and she goes to visit her grandmother who's waiting for her and embraces her in a butterfly hug. And then they start their adventures for the week. And one day they visit a duck pond. Another day they go to a playground. They walk shelter dogs. They go to the library. And then they have an adventure where the grandmother says, let's go into the ocean. And they hold hands and they are in the shallows and they're looking at all the beautiful fish and the shells. And they're just having a great old time. Until the current swirls in the ocean. And I don't know if you've had that experience, but if you're in the water and all of a sudden the current starts going around, you don't feel as comfortable. And in this case, the little girl's belly thumped. And all through the whole story, we talk about Victoria's connection with her body and that her belly twirled and her belly swirled and her belly butterflies thumped. So we have this image of, you know, the butterflies that some of us get. And she's very concerned and she can't touch the bottom. And her grandmother is there to kind of ease her through. And that's really one of the most wonderful moments where we see the influence, the calming influence that's possible with an elder on a younger person. So she leans back and she tells her to spread her wings like a butterfly and the current will take them down, you know, and then they'll get out of the water. And then they have this lovely kind of rest afterwards. The grandmother's a little bit exhausted from this. And they're in the garden and they have an adventure, even in the garden. So they don't have to go out and do things. They can have an adventure and they do. And they find a caterpillar and they explore the caterpillar. And then before we know it, their time together is finished. And the little girl goes back and the grandmother and she are hugging and she gives her a butterfly hug. And so that's another thing that's thematic about the butterfly, that we feel so comforted and comfortable when someone carefully wraps their arms around us and we feel connected. And then the little girl is reflecting on her time with her grandmother and she gets ready and she goes back the next year. And we see her looking a little bit more mature and we see the grandmother looking a little bit more frail. And so they're doing their adventures and the little girl decides that she's going to lead them to the butterfly grove. And what do you think happens? They get lost. Only this time it's the little girl who then sings this lovely tune that her grandmother taught her when they were floating down the water. She now sings it to her grandmother who is a little flustered. And so the little girl we see is trying to become a bit braver and trying to help her grandmother. And they're not exchanging roles. They're just kind of merging roles. And the little girl is singing and the ranger comes along and she hears them and she guides them back. And then before you know it again, their time is up. They've had their year and the little girl's in another butterfly hug and she says goodbye and they watch as they are saying goodbye, they watch a butterfly, they watch a chrysalis hatch, and the butterfly is waving goodbye. And then the end of the story is that the little girl finds out from her mother, sometime after school starts, that her grandmother has actually died. And we see the little girl going through the sadness and the connection that she will always feel because her grandmother reminds her that her mother reminds her that her grandmother will always be with her. And when she sees a butterfly, she'll remember that and she'll feel connected. And the little girl feels a bit braver. And then next summer, she doesn't have the option of going to see her grandmother, and she goes to camp. And sure enough, when she goes to camp, she gets off the camp bus and she's a little bit concerned. Her belly butterflies are going a little crazy. But a blue butterfly lands right near her, and she feels that she is kind of protected and connected with her grandmother, and she goes to her bunk and she sees a little friend and they're both unpacking and the little girl has the same butterfly shirt that she does, and she knows that she's going to be okay.
Wow, that is such a good story. It really is. I mean, you know, because it captures the relationship through different stages, and you know, I think any child with a grandparent, a living grandparent, will be in one way or another somewhere along that line. You know, and it could even be an older grandchild with, you know, the grandparent being more on the frail side. And then, of course, and you don't, I mean, you put death in there. I mean, you keep it real, you know, in that sense.
You know, Robert, most children will lose their grandparent before anyone else in their life. If they have a pet, they might lose their pet. But the first human being that most children have to deal with as far as death is a grandparent. And one of the things that I wanted to say was to share with people kind of what my mom always told me. And she would be so present for everything. So, oh, isn't this fun? You know, this is great. You know, one day when I'm not here, you're going to hear this song and you're going to think of me. Or one day when I'm no longer here, you're going to make this recipe and you're going to think of how we shared it together and how we had it for the holidays. Or we're going to make these, you know, decorations. And someday when I'm not here. So it was a constant, not repetitive, but it was thematic that we're not always going to be here in body, but we will be here in spirit and we will be here in memory. And we will be here with stories and rituals to share. And this is really one of the themes of the book. And, you know, when you spoke about older grandchildren with perhaps more frail grandparents, one of the things that's been a big surprise for me is hearing from some of the readers who are teenagers. And I didn't expect that. And they relate to the anxiety that the little girl has and how to get through it by calming, by being aware of what your body is telling you. And by, in this case, the grandmother, you know, sings this little tune that they share, butterfly, butterfly in the sky. And they go through that and it's very calming. And to do the butterfly hug, which you can do for yourself. And just giving yourself coping tools and coping mechanisms. And I found that because so many children are feeling anxious and feeling depressed, and loneliness is so much a part of children's lives and their everyday experience, that I am hearing from children who are a bit older than I thought my target audience was. Additionally, I'm hearing from so many adults who are kind of thanking me for writing a book about death. I didn't think I was writing a book about it. But I'm gratified to know that it's helpful for people to find ways to incorporate death into their lives, into their conversations, and to feel and to present it as a part of life, but that our spiritual connection, what I call the eternality of love, is available for all of us, and that who better than grandparents and grandchildren or elders in the community who befriend younger kids, who better to talk about this than they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's wonderful that, did you say it was your mom who said that one day that you'll be remembering this moment? I think that it's wonderful for a parent to be, I mean, or a grandparent to make that, to raise the awareness of that. You know, because so many times when it comes to, you know, those really special moments and special memories, you kind of leave it up to your memory, which may have faded over, you know, from that particular experience, versus saying, one day you'll remember this. And I mean, it kind of commits that experience to memory.
I agree. It also elevates the experience, because what it does is, what I'm hoping you will do, will remember the moment, the joy, the pleasure, the love, the scent, the sound. I hope you'll remember and feel and revisit the entirety of the experience, so that you can still miss a person who isn't here as you concurrently recall and remember the joy of their presence. And you can do it at the same time. You can recall and laugh and cry, because each of those emotions and each of those feelings is real and can be held at the same time.
Yeah, very much so. Now, one thing, one aspect of children's books that is vital to their success is the illustration. And I love to find out from authors how they found or located that particular illustrator that was used, and just maybe a little bit about the process and what it was that you wanted for the illustrator to convey.
I appreciate your question, because I want everyone to know about these illustrators. The illustrator who illustrated both the turquoise butterfly and Dear Dear is a woman named Amelina Jones, and she lives in Costa Rica. And I came to her through the editor that I was working with at Mascot Books, which is the imprint, the children's imprint at Amplify Publishing Company. And I was working with my wonderful editor, and I said, can you help me find some illustrator? And she said, oh, yes. And she sent me the names and the website of 100 illustrators.
Oh, my God.
It was a little overwhelming, Robert, but I took my time. And I had an idea of what I wanted for Turquoise Butterfly. And by looking at these illustrators, I realized that my idea in my head had nothing to do with the reality of what the book needed to look like. In my case, I wanted to have a very simple, minimal, and almost zen-like quality of the illustrations. But I was writing a book about emotions. And you, if you write a book about emotions, you need more than two dots for the eyes, a dot for the nose,
and a dot for the
mouth. So it was kind of like, oh, now I get it. And so then I started looking for people who were able to draw with their own sense of emotion without having them be caricature-like, without having them be... I had a sense, and it was quite intuitive, because I don't think it was really cognitive. I was just, you know, what spoke to me in a way that jumped off the page. And I came across Amelina's work and several others. And so I kept narrowing it down, and I kept coming to her work. And mostly what I saw that she did was nature and animals. And The Turquoise Butterfly was the first book. So I really liked what she did. I loved the way she used color. But I didn't see enough people. So I asked the editor if she would reach out to her and, you know, share the story and perhaps give me an example of how she would envision the characters with direction from me, which I gave. And I actually did this for about 5 of the illustrators. And so I got back samples, and I really loved what Amelina came up with. And then I sent her pictures of my mom, and I sent her pictures of the places that I wanted to illuminate and illustrate. And we went back and forth, and it was a wonderful collaboration. I've never met her. It's all been online, which is so odd for me, but it has worked, and she's been incredibly responsive, and she's, I believe, quite happy with the response to the book and delighted that people like you are shining light on her and her work. And she's been terrific, and with Dear Dear, which I guess we'll talk about in a little while, the entire experience occurred in a park very near my home. So I was able to take photographs of every part of the park, every animal and bird that's in the story. I photographed and sent it to the illustrator. So it's very true to life. And she, you know, and she used a similar color palette, which I wanted. And yet they're very different books, but they relate to each other because of the engagement with and the respect for nature.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just think that it's wonderful that, you know, with the internet, that you've been able to, we can connect with somebody in a remote country, never have met, but still be able to work together for co-creation.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm sure that you and your listeners know this, but, you know, when you write a children's book, Turquoise Butterfly was my first children's book. It's my eighth book, but it's my first children's book. And I'm used to writing everything that's in my head. Well, children's books are supposed to be about 750 words, and my attempt was 4,000 words, and I just thought I needed every single word. So what was important was to be able to recognize what the illustration could tell that I didn't need words to tell. And that's the real collaboration. So that there are whole chunks of this book that I wrote that are now obvious because of her lovely illustrations.
Wow. That is wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, we're going to kind of go and talk about some do's and don'ts that you had for relationships, but I don't want to shortchange Dear Dear. So let's go ahead and talk about Dear Dear. Now, this is one you said is due to be released June 2nd, I believe you said?
Yes, it's coming out on June 2nd. And it's also published by Mascot Books, which is a part of Amplify Publishers. And it's about two little children, two friends, who venture into the woods. Now, this is based on a story that actually happened to me in June of 2020 or 21, I'm not recalling. It was during the COVID period when people were not out very much. And fortunately for me, I was able to go into a park which was nearby, and I had lots of adventures, and there were very few children and very few adults there. And one adventure that I had was I was on a walk, and I was coming by a beautiful pond, relatively remote, and there was a small fawn, recently born, a little baby deer, and it was caught in this pond, and the walls of the pond were very high stone walls, and it was, and the tide was coming in, and it could not get out. And I walked, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, can I help rescue this little deer? And then I walked a bit further, and there was this large doe, a mother deer, standing maybe 6 feet from me and locking eyes with me. And if you know anything about wildlife, you know that that's not a very typical experience.
No.
And she looked at me, and then she looked towards the pond, and then she looked at me, and she looked at the pond, and she looked at me, and I said, okay. And so that began the saga of this story, where I was able to, with the help of two young kids who were not too far away, two teenagers whom I corralled, two young boys, and we kind of helped, they helped me, and we figured out a way to try and save this little fawn before it was going to drown. And so in this, in the process of this and afterwards, the next day I went to see if I could find them. I couldn't. The following day I did, and they were nursing. The little fawn was nursing on the mom, and the mother did not run away. She just stood there and looked at me and kept nursing, and I came closer, and she just looked at me, and over a period of time, I had this, what I refer to as a remarkable relationship with this deer and her fawn. And so I felt simultaneously that I needed to jot down some notes on this, because I felt somewhere it was going to be a book or a story or something. And at the very least, I wanted to share it with my grandchildren.
Yeah.
And so then I wrote The Turquoise Butterfly, and I kept going back to the story about the deer, and it started to formulate in my mind that this is an opportunity, because I, as a psychologist, I work a lot with families and I work a lot with kids, and we are having this rise in, as I mentioned before, not only anxiety and depression and loneliness, but much, much more attachment / addiction to technology and to screens in particular. And over these last years, it has just exploded. So I felt that what would be really useful was to help children get back to nature, help their families, try and encourage them not only to just take a walk in the park, which is wonderful, but to explore. to heighten their senses, which are being degraded because they're not really being exercised, to help children be in a problem-solving mode, a creative problem-solving mode, to be physical, to figure out how to get across a stream, and for kids in the city to notice the wind and the birds, and to notice when something is growing up through a sidewalk, and to pay attention, to real relationships with animals, with birds, and that we now know translates into much more compassionate and empathic relationships with human beings and with themselves. And it develops an enormous amount of self-confidence, independence. So that's when I started to think about, I think this book is going to be more than just a little story. Hopefully it will be kind of a primer to really encourage kids to open their minds and their hearts and all of their senses to the natural world. And then I decided, since I love writing letters, kind of an old art form, that I would write it as a letter, as a love letter to nature. So on each page, it starts, dear, dear, and dear, dear this, and dear, dear that. Dear, dear, what do you hear? At the pond, we check on the baby ducks. 1, 2, 3, 10 ducklings in a row. We wait and we smile. They peep, squeak, and paddle along to follow their mother. One is afraid to get wet. She squawks and cries, but mom is patient. Finally, she leaps in, number 10. Dear, dear, are the ducks your friends? And so it's kind of a conversation between the children and the animals and the birds through the perspective of the deer. And then they come upon the deer that is caught and how they get her out. So this is also a book about trying to train stewards of nature. Where can we help? How can we encourage life in nature? How can we be respectful? How far do we stand when we're looking at animals? Is our role to frighten them, or is our role to observe them? And what can we learn? So that's really the story of Dear Dear.
Wow. You know, and I love the fact that it's based on one of your experiences, or on a real life experience, because it shows, for the listeners, it shows that, take a closer look at their everyday experiences and recognize that there is a story to be told in what it is that they're experiencing.
I agree with you 100%, Robert. We need to understand our stories so we can share our stories. And the most bonding experience a person with another person from a different generation is to share a story. Let me tell you about what it was like when I went to school, when we didn't have phones, when I walked to school, when we had to walk to the laundromat or whatever it is. And you share not only a different perspective, but you share your life experience, and then you listen and you hear, what would you do in this situation? This is what we did, and this is the only option we had. So it begins a conversation across decades, right? Across generations. And what we share is what we know. But if we're kind of meandering through life while we're on our phones, we're not noticing. We're not paying attention. And, just to even say to someone, on my way to work today, when I got off the bus, I saw a bird, and it was just standing there on the sidewalk. And rather than just walk by, I watched it. And I watched, and I really noticed it. And I thought it was just this black raven, but I noticed a beautiful illumination and a luminescence. And there was a little bit of purple in that color, right, in that wing. So I think that stories are important to our lives because they keep us connected to where we are right now. And for children, when we tell them stories and we listen to their stories, they really can connect with that which came before them and that which will come after them, that they recognize that they are part of a long line of people and that this is just one moment and they're in this moment.
Yeah, it's so true. And I know when I love to do nature walks myself, and I know sometimes I will get detracted by technology until I, you know, maybe run across something that's, oh man, I need to pay attention where I am, be here now, you know, be in the present. And then, of course, the phone gets put away. But you know, it's really important for us to, you know, have that experience and to be able to pass on to the future generations, instill the value of that to them.
I believe that's true. And I, you know, I do nature walk talks and put them on YouTube. I started during COVID when I was working with my patients through Zoom and different kinds of virtual technology. And many of them were stuck inside and in apartments. And so I started to take some of my sessions outside. And I found that I'm not sure whether I was helping them heal or whether it was just the notion that there were birds and there were all kinds of beautiful plants and trees and everything to look at and that it's so healing. And then after COVID, I just kept doing it because people were saying it was really helpful. And I find that going into nature, maybe with a problem or a concern, and just kind of being there and kind of putting it out into the atmosphere as a question or as a concern, and quieting yourself and connecting with your senses and seeing what comes back. We have different perceptions when we are not just focused on ourselves, you know, when we look at how animals relate to each other, where plants grow, the kinds of trees and how they, you know, who's hugging the sun. We learn so much more about ourselves by finding out more about the natural life and the natural landscape.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I did watch one of your nature walk videos, and I was so jealous because you were right next to a lilac bush.
That was just the other day, Robert. Oh, it was so lovely.
Well, you know, from the north, I grew up in upstate New York, so we have lilacs up there.
Oh, yes.
They were plentiful. But I now live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And,
yes.
And every time in the spring when it's lilac season, I get so brokenhearted. But then again, we have the magnolias bloom, and that their fragrance is something.
Indeed. And isn't it wonderful that you have so many different memories of what you grew up with, and now you have these in your present life? But yes, that lilac tree was really amazing, and I literally just stuck my nose right into it and just inhaled, and it was so breathtakingly beautiful, and I wanted to share it. So that's the thing. Sometimes these experiences are really singular, but sometimes we want to share them. And I find that by sharing them, people realize that, well, gee, maybe I'll just go outside, or maybe I'll stop by and get this little plant and nurture it and see how long it takes to grow, or I'll plant a seed. I think that this has spawned interest in not only patients, but in noticing and cultivating.
Yeah. Now, I do a lot of nature photography, so when I'm out and about, you know, I always have my camera with me whenever I'm about. And so there will be times, though, that something will happen. Maybe it's a hawk flyby or something, but it happened so quick that I, you know, that camera, the sight to camera reaction wasn't quite as quick. And when that happened, when it first started happening, I used to get upset. It's like, oh man, I didn't have my camera ready and do all of that kind of stuff. Until I recognized that, you know, that was one of those moments that was just meant for me. And not to be, not to be recorded, you know, and just be thankful that I got that individualized message.
I think that that's such an important realization, Robert, because so often we are so busy documenting the moment that we're not living the moment. And, you know, I recently went to a wedding, and there was a request that people who were there at the wedding as guests not take any photographs, that they just stay present with the couple and be in that sacred space. And many people were mumbling and grumbling. They were really upset. And yet everybody did it. And everybody was really present. And there wasn't clicking going on, and people weren't holding their phones up. And it really was, sometimes there are moments that are just meant to be experienced. and without anything else. And sometimes we want to document them and we want to keep them. But I think we've leaned a little too far in the documenting sphere, yeah, for my comfort, and less in the just allow yourself to be present in the moment sphere without having to use technology to capture it.
Yeah, I agree. And boy, our time is just about done here, Dr. Atkins-Dale. So before we go, can you maybe tell us what you hope the readers are going to get from reading, both Dear Deer and The Turquoise Butterfly?
I hope they get a sense of connection, both with people and with nature. I hope they get a sense of appreciating that love is eternal and that we can connect with people and stay connected with them, whether they are half a world away or whether they have died, and that we can keep a memory of someone very much as a comfort. In the beginning, after they die, sometimes we're extremely sad and it's really painful to go to that place. And it will be at times, even years and years later, decades later. But if we can also recall with joy and recall with love, I think that it's really very important. And as far as Dear Deer, I think that real connection is to recognize our true nature. And our true nature is to be in nature. Our true nature is to be connected and really observe and to notice the stars, the wind, the air, the moon, the sun, the plants, and animals, and to really feel that we are not here, as I said before, the world is not here to entertain us. We are here to be stewards of this incredible planet in whatever way we can be. How we treat each other with kindness, how we treat the earth with kindness, and to be aware of how we walk through the world. And I hope if people can find that in the books, I would be a very happy person.
Good. I think that's worthwhile, and I'm sure that will be the result of the books as well. And one of the things I love about doing shows is being able to get little bits of little gems, terms, and ways of thinking of things. And your phrase, eternality of love.
Eternality of love. Eternality of love.
Yeah, I just love that. So anyway, that
one. Thank you, Robert.
Be a new one. So this has really been a delight, Dale. I really appreciate you spending your time with us.
And thank you very, very much. And I wish you all the best.
You're very welcome. And also, you are on Instagram, and I'm a follower of you on Instagram.
So, thank you.
I look
yes.
forward to keeping in touch. Okay, good.
Take good care.
You as well. Again, everyone, today my special guest is Dr. Dale Atkins, author of the children's books The Turquoise Butterfly and the soon-to-be-released June 2nd, Dear Deer. And for more information about Dr. Atkins as well as her other books, you can visit her website, which is drdaleatkins.com, and that's drdaleatkins.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.